Hey everyone, and welcome to the Pisgah Podcast.
We are your hosts. I'm Drew, and that's Mangler, and you are listening to Pisgah. We're coming to you live from a World Cup starting grid. Let's get into these news and updates, Mangler.
All right, yes, it is December, going into the holidays.
That's right.
Right now, this week.
And I think as we are recording this, this is officially the winter solstice. It's time for daylight to get longer. Hopefully that's going to feel faster than it's actually going to be.
Yeah, however, does this mean that our night rods will be getting shorter?
God bless them. Yeah, I hope so. So this past week, we had a raffle finish up for the Pisgah Conservancy bike. It was a sick YT build with local companies providing components. Sold just over 1,500 tickets, which brought in just under $40,000 for Pisgah Conservancy.
Shoo-wee.
Yeah. There's been a few bike raffles as of late, and we're psyched on everyone putting money down on those. Unfortunately, neither one of us won the bikes, but we're still happy that our money is going to help the area. And we got to say congrats to Brock Hefner of Atlanta, Georgia, for winning the bike. And here's a side note, too. Also, if you're an Amazon shopper, you can set up your smile.amazon.com account to the charity of your choice. And mine, of course, is the Pisgah Conservancy. And I don't shop a ton on Amazon, but every little bit helps.
All right. Good note. Good note.
Pisgah Area Sorber Raffle focuses on that club, which is going to be more bike-related because, well, it's Pisgah Area Sorber. The Pisgah Conservancy differs in its approach to all of its users in the forest. It started off as a bike raffle in 2016 and has raised $210,000 so far. Their recent trail projects have been Cantrell Creek Reroute and the new Stony Knob Connector.
All right, yeah, those have been some good additions and updates for the forest. And speaking of some good updates for a forest, here's some awesome news for our friends out in the Triangle area of North Carolina. There's a somewhat, we'll call it, social trail network in the like Lake Crabtree area by Umstead State Forest. And honestly, I don't feel like we're blowing up the spot because this is something that's been heavily discussed over the past few years. There's been a lot of light shined on it. And, you know, some great news for this zone was recently announced.
Is this the 286 trails?
Yes. Yep, the 286 trails. So it's a made up of like a chunk of land that sits between Lake Crabtree and Umstead State Park. It's on the north side of Interstate 40. It's kind of right beside the Raleigh-Durham Airport, and it's owned by the Airport Authority. And, you know, throughout the past decades, trail fairies and gnomes have been building trails there. And I think I first rode this zone with our good friend Banjo maybe 10 years ago. Ridden it maybe two or three times, but it's a fun spot. Got some cool weird features, jump over a creek, just some cool stuff.
I think I've seen some Insta videos here and there with this stuff. I rarely make it out that way to that part of the state myself, but when I do, it's even less likely to be with a bike. But I'm going to add this to my spots to check in 2023.
Right on. All right, so here's what the stink was. The airport was going to sell or lease the land to a rock quarry company of some sorts, and it was just going to get probably dug up. Lots of locals raised hell about it, you know, rightfully so, and it took some time, but it has been decided that the Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority will lease the 151 acres to Wake County for the property to be used as a mountain bike recreational area. So this is awesome. There's other details in the press release that I found, but it's basically like a 10-year lease with options to extend it. There's like a master plan for new trails and updates on infrastructure. There's a lot of big budgets for operational costs and all that jazz. So it's a huge win for our friends over yonder in the Triangle area.
Heck yeah, I'm psyched for those guys. They deserve to have awesome places to ride. We see a lot of them out in our area pretty frequently.
Oh, yeah.
So, new Gravel Adventure Field Guide is out covering the Roanoke, Virginia area. It's a cool little mini book with routes, doodles, art, and a more analog style of inspiration. It's but for us digital nerds, they do feature QR codes that link to various websites, like ride with GPS routes and things like that.
Yeah, this is real rad. I'm real psyched on seeing stuff like this. It definitely makes me think of like an old punk zine with like some newer style digital influence. It shows like a cool connection between, you know, the past analog style of making zines and art, and including some digital features.
And modern printing using waterproof paper like maps are printed on and things like that too.
Yeah, real high quality stuff.
It's like we're in the year 2000, Mangler.
Yep, I will include a link to that in the show notes so you guys can check it out.
Okay, rad. In these past few episodes, we've ranged from an EWS racer, a World Cup downhill racer, talking about our new local downhill park, and now we've got a well-celebrated World Cup cross-country racer on the mic with us.
Yes, that is right. It is time to talk some cross-country, and there's literally no one better on the globe to do it than Yolanda Neff. All right, Yolanda, you are someone that basically doesn't need an introduction here on the Pisgah podcast, but thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the invite.
Yeah. You're Yolanda Neff, Olympic gold medalist, hanging out here in Pisgah all the time. So tell us about that. How does Yolanda end up here?
It's a good question, and it's a very easy answer. So yeah, I'm just here because Luca Shaw lives here, my boyfriend. I live in Switzerland, like that's my main home. And Luca and I we either hang out together in Switzerland or we hang out together here in Pisgah. And this time of year, it's very cold and snowy in Switzerland. So Pisgah is really the perfect place to be. And I really do enjoy my time here very much. The riding is great, and yeah, I feel very lucky to ever have come here and yeah, be able to ride here.
How long have you been on the World Cup?
Oh, ever since I was born. So like, well, you can only race World Cups as a junior. So back when I was a junior, we still had junior World Cups. Like nowadays, there is only junior World Series for cross country. You can only race in the under 23 at the World Cup level. But so yeah, when I was a junior, so junior is under 19, so you're 17, 18 years old. So yeah, it must have been when I was 17 years old was when I did my first World Cup. So that was in 2010, was my first year junior, racing World Cups in 2011. And then 2012, I was an under 23. And then 2013, I stepped up to the elite level. So ever since 2013, I was racing elite World Cups. So Actually, next year, so that's 10 years. Next year will be my 11th year racing.
So 11 years. And how long have you been coming to Pisgah for?
Only since I know Luca. So that has been almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
So yeah, 2018 was my first time coming here. And I came here in fall, so it was October.
Ooh.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was like all the colors, all the leaves. Yeah, the riding was just amazing. And I must say also the whole region has developed so much. I remember back then there was no Canoga, there was no Rock Creek. So every year when I came back, there was more trails and bike parks. And yeah, it's just getting better and better.
You've been coming here on and off a good 5 years now. How do you think that's helped progress your riding?
Well, so yeah, like in Switzerland, I would still ride all year round. I would ride in the snow with my normal cross-country race bike, like never put on spikes or anything, but I was riding every day in the snow.
Keeping it fun and exciting.
Yeah, it was. I loved it. And it was always, you know, skills-wise, it's really good training too to ride in the snow. And I mean, I would ride the exact same trails that I would ride in the summer with all the roots and rocks and everything, and it was just covered in snow, so that was great training. I didn't really ride the rollers ever. I was always outside training and playing around, and so that was always great fun. But yeah, now, of course, here it's also very nice when you don't have snow and you can ride, you know, longer hours, and yeah, the training is really good. So yeah, I would say, like, no matter where in the world I am or I was, I always enjoy how the riding is different and what it brings. And it's just like, it's always like a new chapter, and you can always learn something from it. And for sure, one thing I would say that I do here that I wouldn't do in Switzerland is ride the big bikes.
Okay, yeah.
Which, like, say, in Canoga or especially Rock Creek, we did that downhill race. And that was very challenging for me. Like, it was a great challenge, and it was very cool, and I really enjoyed it. But that was definitely be something I wouldn't take my slash, you know, in December in Switzerland to to ride a downhill park. So, yeah,
it's too deep in snow.
Right, exactly. It's a ski field in wintertime. So, yeah, that's really cool here. That is something I don't get to do in Switzerland. So, I do enjoy that part here in Pisgah.
When you're here in Pisgah, which bike do you kind of ride more when you're riding like the Pisgah proper?
I have a slash here. That's my go-to bike when I ride, yeah, Canoga or Rock Creek or even Pisgah. It's, for me, it's really a great bike. You know, it can handle anything. And but I do try to every now and then also ride my Super Caliber again, which is my cross-country race bike, just to, you know, stay a bit in touch with it and not completely forget how it handles. But I must say, like, when you come from the slash and you go back on the Super Cali, it's a bit disappointing. It's like such a small bike. And but yeah, it's a good mix. And then I also do have a cyclocross bike, like slash gravel bike here, the Boon, and also a road bike, the Emonda, which is, yeah, super nice for climbing and the parkway and all that. So, yeah, I have a really great mix of bikes here. And I even have an e-bike here, the Trek Rail, which, you know, on an easier day, even to ride trails with that, it's really nice too. So I really do try to keep a good mix and keep it fun.
And there's definitely plenty of routes in Pisgah that the Super Caliber just would excel on.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, just even this week, I did Avery and Black and Bracken Trail all on the Super Call, and, you know, it was great. It was fine. You can do Avery on the slash, but the Super Call works as well. So, yeah, it's great. And then, you know, DuPont has a lot of trails that are just made for the Super Call. So,
yeah,
that's really good, too.
Do you have a favorite trail in Pisgah?
Ooh, good question. I know that in Canoga, my favorite trail is Hemlock.
I mean, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I know that about Canoga. I find it hard to pick one in Pisgah. I must say I like the Bracken Trail just because it's very turny and twisty, and it reminds me a little bit of like cross-country races, the race courses, and like on the Super Call, it's a really good trail. I would say the other trails in Pisgah are for sure a lot more rough than what we have in the races. So, yeah, maybe if I had to pick one that comes closest to also what I race on, it would be Bracken.
We're going to jump ahead a little bit because you just brought something up about how Pisgah is a little rougher than some of your racetracks. I don't know if that's true, though, because like some of the spots on like the World Cup course at Snowshoe, that's got some rowdy sections in it.
Yeah, especially when it rains, which it did a lot this year. And yeah, that changes it up, you know. And one of the great things about racing the World Cups is that you go to places all over the world, and every track that you go to has very, very different characteristics. So say if you race in France, it's very tight and a lot of rocks and roots and super techy and narrow, and that is probably very similar to what I ride in Switzerland at home, like steep, tight hiking trails. And then when you go to other places like Brazil this year, it was very flowy and like jumps and, you know, big corners and berms. And so like all of that is then maybe more close to what you have here in Canoga. So it's almost like a different skill set. And I do enjoy that part very much about our racing, that, you know, you have such different tracks. It's not just all the same. So, yeah, whatever you do here in Pisgah, you know, 100% you can find something on the World Cup course that is very similar to that.
Yeah.
And then there is other tracks that no matter where in the world you ride your bike, you go to a World Cup and a little bit will be similar and another little bit will be completely different. And you need kind of all the different styles of riding, like techy, tight stuff, but also big speed, big berms stuff. So, yeah, that's really cool. And I do think Pisgah offers a lot of what we really need at the World Cups.
Yeah, I mean, just with Western North Carolina in general, with Pisgah, DuPont, Canoga, Rock Creek, it sounds like all that stuff is great training grounds for a World Cup athlete.
100%. Yeah, it really is. And I would say also the weather is an important part. You know, like you can ride here all year round. Parks are open all year round. And you still do get days where it rains a lot and where, you know, it gets very muddy, and that's also a skill you need. And I remember when we had that downhill race at Rock Creek, the day of practice on the Friday, it was like pouring rain, right? It was just like
legit monsoon, like hurricane.
Yeah, it was like monsoon rain. It's so much rain. And we went out that day and rode, and you know, it was like, wow. And then the next day when it started to dry up, it was just like peanut butter. And then the next day it was completely dry. So we had like 3 days in a row with 3 times complete different conditions. And that is great too. You know, there is places in the world where it's just always dry. And there's other places where it's always wet. So here it's actually great. You have a mix and you really get both extremes.
Yesterday, I saw you post on social media that you went out and rode Canoga. Not the most ideal scenarios for anyone that wants to go ride a bike. It was like high 30s and just like raining all day. Just cold, wet rain. And then we see that you're out riding Canoga. So a question for that is, was that just going out to ride for fun because you were just like sick of being pent up? Or was that also more of like a training scenario?
Oh, no, that was a proper training. I rode 3 hours. I was there for a while. And for me, it was like, you know, the ideal scenario. Like to me, Canoga was like the best possible place to ride when I knew that it was going to rain. Because like say last week, for example, it rained a lot on Friday and I went on a gravel ride and I got so cold and I was like somewhere deep into Pisgah. We rode out towards like Balsam Grove and
pink beds.
Yeah. Like we went very deep into Pisgah and we were like 2.5 hours in and I was completely soaked and like there was no way to get back other than ride back for 2.5 hours. And that was very wet and very cold. So for me to go to Canoga was like so easy because I knew that any time if I would get really cold, I could just, you know, come back to the car. Like every 15 minutes, you have one lap in and then you could just jump out anytime. And I wasn't even cold. I felt really good and I had so much fun and I had like the whole park to myself. So yeah. I did like, yeah, I just kept going and I rode for 3 hours. And yeah, there was one other guy on an e-bike riding and yeah, we were really the two only people in the whole park. But yeah, it was great. And you really stay warm in Canoga too, because you always only have a very short downhill, like 2 minutes down, and then you're climbing again. So yeah, for me, Canoga is a great spot to ride when it rains.
And I imagine you're probably looking forward to more Rock Creek laps.
I really do. Yeah, I really do. Unfortunately, I couldn't go when the opening weekend was here, but I definitely want to go again in the next couple of weeks. And yeah, it's what a nice setup. I mean, with the shuttle bus too, you stay warm when you go back up. And I mean, the trails there, they are really next level to me, who is like, you know, I did that downhill race on my Slash, so I only had a single crown fork and I didn't have like the geometry of a downhill bike. So it was challenging to do that.
And it's a gnarly track.
Yeah, it's a gnarly track. And even with a downhill bike, I mean, you know, it's probably still challenging if you want to go really fast, you know, and if you really want to push it. So yeah, it's really amazing to have that here. And yeah, I will definitely be back at Rock Creek.
You also did the Enduro at Rock Creek, and you won that as well. So the challenging thing about that Enduro was you guys had to pedal that hill. Yeah. That thing is so steep.
Yeah. And it was funny too, because I passed so many people when I was pedaling up. And like, I think like by the end of the day, almost everyone was pushing their bikes up. Like I didn't really see anybody else who was still riding. So it was like, but for me, it was fine, you know, because like I'm used to pedal up the hill and I'm used to also ride steep hills and it's fine for me. And I just went slow. I was just like in my smallest gear and just taking my time to pedal back up. But man, it must be hard if, you know, like you have a big, heavy enduro bike and you're maybe not training every day and then you have to pedal up that big hill and then you should still race it down. So yeah, I thought that was a huge day. So like, yeah, big respect for everyone who came out that day and yeah, pushed it up that hill. I mean, some people were out there for 8 hours and yeah, that's a big day. So yeah. Now there is shuttles. Nobody nobody has to push up anymore.
Between Rock Creek and Canoga, which one's probably your favorite right now?
I would say at this point, I'm still a lot more familiar with Canoga just because it has been there for longer. And I, you know, it's so close to where we live. It's like 10, 15 minutes and I'm there and I can jump in and I know what to do. And, you know, Rock Creek, I think I wouldn't dare to go there by myself alone. I would definitely want to go with some friends. Yeah. So you can also ride together and, you know, look at stuff together. And yeah, Canoga, I feel 100% fine to just go there by myself. And I think it's a very friendly park for any skill level. Like no matter if you have really good skills or no matter if you're a beginner, like anyone can have a great, great day there. And Rock Creek, you definitely want to bring some skills.
I haven't ridden the Green Trail yet. I've seen a lot of it, but I'm really looking forward to Callie opening that up because she's done such an amazing job on it.
Yeah,
so I'm looking 100%. Looking forward to riding that one.
Yeah, I've heard a rumor, so I don't know if I'm spreading rumors now or if it's true, but I've heard that maybe there's going to be a proper cross-country racetrack at Rock Creek at some point.
Ooh.
So that would be incredibly exciting. Yeah, also to have races. I know that they would love to have some downhill races. And that could even be an opportunity to have both, like cross country and downhill. And I think the mountain would make for a great cross country racetrack. So, I mean, that would be so much fun to, you know, have a proper cross country racetrack to train on or even race on.
Yeah. And you and your boyfriend could go do your own respective races together at the same location.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. That's basically what we do at every World Cup.
Yeah.
We commute to work together, and then he goes, does his race, I go do my race, and we go back home together. So
that's awesome you guys have that, though.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That is really, really cool.
Going back to some racing now, let's use Luca and downhill as an example. Obviously, he's racing other people, but it's just the clock. You're racing other people on the course at the same time. With downhill, it seems like it can be easier to keep friendships amongst all the racers. But when you're in there in the pack with all the other racers, like elbows, everything, like is it easy to keep friendships in World Cup cross country?
It's easy to keep friendships with nice people, but with people who are not nice, it's really hard to be friends with them. You know, if somebody has ever pushed you out of the track and you can just like see that they wanted to push you out, then it's very hard to, you know, after that still be friends with them and keep the respect. And there is riders that, you know, they will never do that. I have some great friends, like say for example Maya Wojtowska. She was like my greatest friend for years. She's not racing anymore, unfortunately, but like she would never do such a thing. And I know that, and she would never do it to me or to any other rider. And there's other people like Linda Indergand from Switzerland. She's like, she even pushes other riders up the hill when their chain drops, you know, like she's helping.
Nice little, like, helping, right? Push, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, she would never do anything bad to anyone. And then there is other riders, and you just like every second race, you see how they like push their elbow into another rider, how they push other riders off. You know, it's just like, even when it's a fight and full on, I think it's still up to yourself to decide how far do you go and what do you do and what do you not do. And yeah, I would say that definitely makes it harder to keep friends with some of the people. And that is for sure in downhill, that is very nice. I think there is a lot of respect between all the riders and, you know, everyone is trying really hard. Everyone is doing their best and you just race the clock and that's it. And but I must say, for me personally, I love, you know, that racing aspect. Like when I watch any race on TV that is with people together, you know, no matter if it's MotoGP or Formula One or, you know, motocross, supercross or cyclocross or Tour de France or whatever, anything where there's a pack of racers, I get so into it. I love it so much. And when I am in there myself, I love it even more. It's like, it's my favorite thing. Like just, yeah, you know, to race and you like, you have to know what you do and when do you overtake, when do you not overtake, you know, how it's so much a psychological aspects to racing and to when do you do what? So I love all that about it. And yeah, I'm lucky to say I still have a lot of great friends. And say, for example, Beck Henderson from Australia. She's a really good friend to me, and I respect the way she races, and I also know she races in a good way. So yeah, I stick to the people that I know they race in a fair way, and I love that about it. And yeah, I love all the racing still.
Do you go back and rewatch races sometimes?
You know what? I hardly ever do. I don't even know which race I have watched from start to finish. I had years where I would like purposely not watch a single race that I was in, just because when you come out of the race, I had all these like fresh memories and impressions, and I knew exactly how the race felt and what I was doing in what moment, and I had it so clear in my mind and so fresh. And then even if I would watch a little like 2 minute thing of a race, it would just be so different and so disappointing in a way, because to me I remember what it felt like, and then you watch it on TV and it looks so boring in a way, you know. When you're in there, it's so much adrenaline and everything, and you're so close to the other riders, and everything is going on, and it's and then you watch it on TV, and to me it just never matches my expectations.
It's like a pack of like six people pedaling up a hill.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, this is a bit boring. I don't know. So like, yeah, I just like love to keep my memories the way I have it. To me, like, it means the world, and I love racing so much. And then yeah, I just like always feel better when I keep those memories. So there's really hardly any race that I have ever watched back, you know. Yeah, I think maybe one of the races that I did watch back, that was the 2018 La Bresse, just because also the commentary from Rob Warner was insane on that. Like, it was legendary. Like, I watching his commentary is what makes me want to watch the race. Yeah, so
that's pure entertainment.
Yeah, that is pure entertainment. And then you watch it and you're like, man, this is even better than I remembered it, you know. So that's what you want to feel like.
You and I have crossed paths multiple times over the past couple of years, usually post race, some stuff like that. Every time I see you at a race, you're having so much fun, and you're always doing like varying disciplines. Like, you're an Olympic gold medalist in cross country, but yet jumped in on a downhill race. Week before that, you did an enduro race and a cyclocross race. It's like you're just having fun racing.
Yeah, I really do, and that's also my goal. You know, like, what is my biggest goal? I mean, it's not a certain result that I achieve. It's I want to have fun on my bike. And, you know, for example, my dad, he's 30 years older than me, and he's still riding his bike almost every single day, and he's loving it. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, man, if you can get to that age and you still love cycling so much, that's all you can ever wish for, you know. Like, I just want to have fun on my bike and enjoy what I'm doing. And yeah, my first love will always be cross country. You know, it's so exciting to try out other bikes, to try out other disciplines, and every single one brings their very own aspects to it, you know, like what is important. And then, yeah, I did the cross race, and I must say I enjoyed it so much to have a race where I could pedal again after all the downhill and enduro. It was like, man, this is great. But then also the enduro was so cool, because I had never done that before, and was like, man, this is so great to see. And then downhill is a complete different mindset again, because you have this one run where it counts and where you have to put everything down and do it perfectly. And yeah, so I love all of that. And I mean, in general in life, one of my favorite things to do is to learn a new skill and master a new skill, you know, no matter what it is. Like, if it's juggling or learning a language, or I don't know, I like, you know, I made my own website, or just like little things, whatever mm-hmm. it is, but like learning new stuff and mastering it, that is, to me, is so fulfilling. And especially on the bike. And yeah, that's why I want to keep learning new things, and I just want to have fun on my bike and love what I do. And, you know, every day there is something that is so cool about it, no matter if it's rain and you ride a Canuga, you know, like, those downhills are so much fun too. And I also love winning. And of course, I want to win more, and I'm chasing dreams and I'm chasing wins. And that to me is like so fulfilling as well. But at the same time, yeah, I want to keep it fun and love what I'm doing.
Was that your first downhill race?
So I did a Windrock in, when was that? That was like maybe 3 years ago. Okay. That was in spring. That was like the Tennessee State Championships. Yeah. So I did that race. That was my very first ever downhill race. So the one at Rock Creek was my second one. But yeah, it hasn't been for at least 2 or 3 years in between.
Do you mingle much with the women downhill racers?
So, you know, like I know all of them, and I personally, and I talk to them, and I know Camille Ballange, for example, from Switzerland. I know her very well. And yeah, I know like Miriam Nicole and Tani Seerave and Vali Ho. And yeah, I know, like I would say, most of them personally. And I love, you know, following their races and their sport. But yeah, I want to make one thing clear. I'm not planning on racing downhill World Cups. Like, I love it so much here to just like try it out for myself, have a great time on the bike. But yeah, I'm really not planning to go anywhere in that direction. I will stick to cross country. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of the sport and I love following what they do.
Do you watch those races?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I have to watch the men's downhill, of course, as well, because of
obviously.
Luca.
Yeah.
And then I have to watch the women's downhill, and then I watch the cross country. And yeah, when in summer, when the racing is going on, sometimes I'm having a busy time keeping up with all the racing.
Absolutely. One thing that I've picked up from you that I know can be challenging for some pros is picking up the bike for fun or because you have to. And it seems like for you, you're always picking up the bike because it's fun. Whether or not it's training, because you understand that training more means you're going to be more successful on the bike, but it's always fun.
Yeah, 100%. I can tell you a funny story about this. One time I was riding with a friend. She's the same age as me. She's also racing cross country. And it was in like October, so it was like after the season. And we were out for a ride. And she said to me, "This time of year is just my favorite time of the year to ride, because I'm going out without my computer, without a heart rate belt, no power meter. I just enjoy the landscape and I ride for fun." And I looked at her and I was like, "Well, that's what I do all year round." Like, and at that time, I was training without a heart rate belt and without a power meter and without a computer. Like, I only started training with all those things 2 years ago. And until then, every time I went out, I went out to enjoy my bike. I went out to see the landscape, see the nature, see the animals, have fun on the trails, you know, ride with my friends, have a great time with my friends on the bike. And also, like, headphones, for example. This week was the first time in my life that I rode with headphones.
Really?
I never, ever have done that. Like, never in my life.
I don't.
Yeah, and I mean, I did it this week, and yeah, it was okay. It was cool, but it's just funny to me. I was like, man, I've never done any of those things. And to me, I always just went out to ride because I wanted to ride. And I was so immersed in my riding whenever I am riding. So yeah, it's interesting to me, you know. I just always like went out for a ride because I wanted to ride. And yeah, I can see a lot of other riders who do that very differently, and especially young riders who are 18 and already ride with all the gadgets and everything. And I mean, I was like 10 years older than them when I started doing that. So yeah, it's funny to me. I'm not saying one thing is wrong or the other is right. Like, you know, everyone has to do what they want to do. But I can just speak for myself, and I can just say, for me, it's key to just go and ride and do it for the ride and love the ride, have fun with that.
Are there ever times where picking up the bike feels like work?
I really try every single time that I go out to, you know, enjoy what I do about the ride and enjoy.
Always look for the fun.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I am a person who loves to ride with other people. So whenever I can, I make a plan with a friend to ride together. And, you know, then we're just talking for 4 hours straight, you know, like, and yeah. I don't even realize that I'm riding. And I love group rides. I love when we are, you know, in Switzerland every week we do a group ride Tuesday night. So I always go there when I'm home. And that is like the best part to me about riding. This is how I grew up riding. And it was funny, we were in Sedona riding with our team a couple weeks ago, and you know, like we rode like the 5, 6, 7 of us, and we were just out riding trails together. And I suddenly had this memory flash through my head from when I was like maybe 12 years old, when we were with our training group from home, which my dad was coaching. We would just do this all the time. We would just go on some really cool adventures up some big mountains. We would stop at the restaurant up top, have lunch there, you know, keep riding. And I just had this flashback and I was like, man, this is why I love mountain biking. Just, you know, a group, you're together out in the nature on a like big adventure. And that's just what I love about it. So yeah, whenever I can, I always try to ride with other people, and that makes it so much fun.
Makes it like a fun social ride.
Yeah, exactly. Like to me, it's the best thing in the world.
So you mentioned going to Sedona a couple weeks ago, and that was your first time visiting that area of the country. So talk to us about that.
Oh yeah, that was like a dream. We really were there, and I felt like I was in fantasy land. I saw those massive rocks, and you know, all the Alps that I know, they were all built through, you know, shifts in the tectonic plates underground, you know, and that's how like the Alps came up. But then when you go out west in the States, all those massive mountains were made through erosion with the wind and the water, and it's just such a complete different style of landscapes. And then you see the different colors on the rocks, from like red to white, and then there's trees, and there's just these incredible trails that go through the middle of it. Like, you climb up on this massive rock plate and suddenly you are in between two rock faces, and there's a trail that keeps going and goes through it. And it's just like, I couldn't even imagine something like that. So yeah, it was just like, it was like fantasy land. It was a dream.
You guys did like Vegas and like Southwest Utah or something too?
Yeah, so we did quite a big road trip. We went to Zion National Park. We saw the old Rampage site. And then we kept going to Grand Canyon. And there we did a hike, no bikes, but we hiked down the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. That was spectacular too. And then we went down to Sedona, Arizona. And that was my favorite spot. Like, that was so amazing. Yeah. And we spent a couple days there, did some really nice rides. And yeah, I really hope I can go back there one day and do some more riding.
Yeah, maybe you can get one of your fancy camper vans over here. And it's just like, a quick little 25 yeah. hour drive over.
You know, it would be so perfect to have one here, because I have one in Switzerland, the Marco Polo camper one. But then, like, I never even really get to use it, because whenever we go somewhere with the team, you know, my team has all the setups. But then out here, it would be so perfect. So yeah, maybe I need to ask Mercedes if they could just like send one over here. I could really, it would be of really good use here.
Yeah, let's talk about the Olympics. That's pretty special. How has being a gold medalist changed your life?
I really am so glad to say that it hasn't changed my life a lot.
Okay.
Like, I'm still the same person. I still do the exact same things as before. I still have the same friends. I still have the same family. And, you know, I was worried for a little moment that it would maybe change my life in a negative way. You know, like, it's easy to get caught up and, you know, like, suddenly you have some friends who are, you know, only there because of your success or whatever. And I'm so incredibly glad. I have great friends that I have had for 10-15 years, and I still have those same friends, and I'm still doing the same things. And, you know, I loved my life before the Olympics. I never felt like anything had to change. And so I'm so glad I'm still living the same life now. And it didn't like change it in any negative way. And yeah, and what I like most, and that was my big goal for this past season. That it was going to be my first year racing as coming into a race season as the Olympic champion. And I just wanted to keep the attitude where I'm chasing dreams, you know. I never wanted to feel like, now I've I don't need to prove anything anymore. I just still wanted to chase dreams. I wanted to show up, keep showing up and race. And yeah, I'm so glad that I could do that. And I must say I'm even more fired up for next year. I still see so many things that I can do better and that I want to work on and how I can get, you know, stronger. And I can't wait for next year, and I can't wait to, you know, go do what I want to do. And it's very nice that I could win the Olympics. You know, it's a bit surreal, and it's a bit, yeah. Sometimes I see, you know, something on the news about someone else who like won the Olympics, and I'm like, I've done that. And then yeah, it's like a nice little surprise in my day, and I'm like, it's like a little reminder, and it's like, that's cool, that's nice. But yeah, let's go chase some more dreams.
So you think winning the gold medal might have like fired you up a little bit more?
No, I wouldn't say winning the gold medal has fired me up. I would say I was worried that I wouldn't be fired up anymore. But luckily, I could win it and still be fired up. And I would say this past season has fired me up more. Like, the 2022 racing season where, you know, I came in with really good shape and then I had some very nice results, but I still know I can do so much better. So, yeah, this season definitely has got me fired up.
Have you gotten any additional notoriety from winning the Olympics? Do people recognize you often or anything?
Oh, yeah, like for sure. Especially in Switzerland, it was a crazy day because we were three Swiss girls on the podium, and that was like nationwide news, you know? Like, yeah. I feel like every single person in Switzerland noticed that. Like, you know, if it would have just been me winning, it would have been, whatever, someone won. But then it was like a historical dimension. It was like everyone in Switzerland knew about that, and then everyone knew that I was the one who won, and then everyone, it was crazy. Like, it was great. It couldn't have been any better. And everyone who met me, you know, like in a store or on the street or in the train or whatever, everyone who talked to me was so happy, and they were so incredibly happy for me. And that was like, that was so touching. Like, yeah, every single time I talked to someone, it was just like, man, they are genuinely so happy for me.
I mean, that's something about when your home country wins the Olympics, it gives you a lot of joy. So for like all three of you guys to be on the podium for that, like you brought it home. Like,
yeah. Yeah, we really did. No, it was it was unbelievable. And it was also the first time ever that women got free spots for one nation. Before that, it was always only the men who had free spots, and that was the first time they changed the rules, and finally we had the same numbers for the women as for the men. So it was the first time anybody could even do that, and there was only, you know, two nations who could bring free women, and that was actually the USA and Switzerland. We were number one and two in the nations ranking. So for us to have all three on the podium, that was unheard of. And, you know, after that, the IOC went and changed the rules. So now you can only bring two women. Like, that was quite funny. Like, we like,
you started it and then you shut it down.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we were like, man, this is great. And then they were like, oh, no, we cannot have that. We cannot have three people from the same nation. So right now it's back to only two people, but it's the same for men and women. So on both sides, it's back to, or it has been cut down to only two people per nation. So that was a great day, a great memory, something that will maybe not ever be possible to be repeated because of the rules, but yeah. we took the one chance that we had, and that was a great day.
Do you get much recognition around Pisgah?
Yes. Also, I mean, there is like...
Especially, I'm sure, out on the trails.
Yeah. Like, I would say anybody who's into biking and is on the trails, there is like some people like, oh, hey, are you Yelena? Like, da-da-da. So, yeah, that's really, really cool to see. But say for sure, like when I go to Ingles or when I go to anywhere else, I would say it's more quiet here than maybe in Switzerland. And, and it's, yeah, but I must say I love hanging out here and I love the little town. And like, say, yeah, when I go to a coffee shop or something, I just, by now, I know the people who work there, not because of who I am or whatever, but just because I've been here a lot. So that is very nice too, you know, when you know people, not for what you've done in your sport, but just because you know them and you've seen them like, a couple times. So that I really enjoy that part.
Do you have any favorite characters of the Pisgah Brevard area?
Luca.
Well, yeah, of course, Luca.
Yeah, Luca. I think it's great that Nico lives here, you know, because he built Canuga and he built Rock Creek. And, you know, together with Dave Lamont, I think what they do for the sport is absolutely amazing. And as well with, you know, the cyclocross race that is here and all the people who help to make that happen. And yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of people here who are really passionate about cycling and, you know, put so much energy and effort into that. And yeah, I think that's great to see. And yeah, I really enjoy meeting those people too, because they love what they do. And yeah, they love the sport.
Have you ventured outside of this area of Pisgah much, like going up to like Wilson Creek or Boone or any of those other zones?
Oh, you know, I'm so bad with that. I'm really such a beginner when it comes to that. You know, even in Pisgah, I still feel like I probably have only ever ridden half the trails there. And
that's still a lot, though.
Yeah, but I feel like there is so much more that I need to discover. And also, say, gravel riding or road riding. I think there is so many more amazing routes around here that I have never even gotten to do. A lot of times I pick up my bike and I just go somewhere that I've been to before and stick to what I already know. So yeah, that is definitely on my bucket list to go out a bit more and try to really discover other areas that are so close to here, but that I've never ridden. I think there's a ton more of amazing riding that I need to ride. Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely need to check out some more spots because there's so much here to ride. So what's next for you for the off season?
Right now I'm just training, and I must say I really enjoy the training right now because I can do a lot of good hours here, while I know in Switzerland it would be a lot of snow. And whenever I talk to my family, they tell me how cold and miserable it is. I'm definitely looking forward very much to getting some more good riding in now. And then in January, I'm going to go back to Switzerland, because then we have a team camp in Spain, which I will attend together with Track Factory Racing. So yeah, that's kind of my next steps. And then I will start racing in March, some cross-country races. And then the World Cup will kick off in May. And I'm just super excited about the next season and all the racing we get to do. And yeah, I already can't wait to come back here to Pisgah for some more riding after the season, I guess.
Yeah, okay, so you're going to leave us for a while, but that's okay, because we look forward to you coming back. Is there anything else you think we should touch base on?
Just anybody who's listening who's not from here, make sure you come here and check it out, because the riding is really amazing here. And, you know, I haven't heard of this place or known this place before I ever came here. And you know, you always hear about, I don't know, Whistler, or you hear about, you know, some like very famous spots to ride. But I can just say from my experience, I've been to places all over the world. I've been to every continent, and the riding here is one of the best riding I've ever done and seen. And no matter if you are a road rider, we have we have. I mean, now I'm already talking as if I am from here, but we have.
Welcome you, Yolanda. You're part of us now.
we have huge mountains here. You know, you can ride up to the parkway. The road riding is amazing. You can drop down to South Carolina. We have insane gravel riding. You can go out for hours in the forest. You don't see a car. You don't see a house. You're just out there. It's great. Cross country couldn't be better. We have so many trail networks. Then you can do enduro here. You can do downhill. You have really gnarly downhill tracks. You have really challenging enduro tracks. You can do cyclocross. Like, you can just do anything here. I feel like no matter what kind of cyclist you are, like, if you plan your next holiday, maybe put this on your list. I can really recommend it, and I promise you will not be disappointed.
Well, we really appreciate you saying all those wonderful things about this area, because that's why we all live here, is because of all the things you just said, for the most part. Obviously, people can keep up with you on social media. You're pretty savvy with it. You're always posting some good stuff and everything.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Yolanda, sincere thanks for making the time to come hang out with us for a little bit. And it's been fun chatting with you, getting to know and learn a little bit more about you.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was really fun. And I'll see you all out somewhere in Pisgah or Canoga or somewhere. And keep it fun, and have happy holidays to everyone. And thank you for the interview.
Awesome. Thank you.
How can I put this? We're somewhat used to the bike world celebrities around here with local World Cup downhill racers that we have. We've got, George Hincapie being nearby, Brent Bookwalter. Willow Kerber was a successful XC World Cup racer from around here. And we've got a handful of Plus Pack CX racers and a lot of the pros who regularly visit us to test and train out here. But I have to say that having an Olympic gold medalist and multi-world champion from another continent calling this area her second home is an honor. And, we should probably start keeping this place secret and close the door now, because I think the spot's been blown up.
Yeah, we thought Pisgah was blown up, but I think Yolanda just took it up another level. But, you know, she's just speaking the truth. I mean, can't fault her for that.
Yeah, it's true. And I feel bad for whoever she was talking about that was throwing elbows in those races, because Yolanda comes across very kind, so I can't really imagine anybody doing that. But also sensed a fierce side that I wouldn't want to cross.
You know, to me, she seems like one of those, like, party pace racers that's just out on the course riding hard, but having fun doing it. So hopefully those throwing bows will kind of recognize and join in on the fun next season.
Right. That's what it's all about anyhow. But either way, Yolanda, we welcome you here in Pisgah. I've said many times on this show that true cross-country racing is what we lack around here. And I hope your influence raises that bar, and we wish you all the luck in your 2023 campaign. We're going to be cheering you on.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out some way to stream it live so we can cheer her on from our sofas at like 6 a.m. for those weird European race time changes and stuff.
Yep. And now, what's our Christmas weather forecast looking like, meteorologist Mangler?
Well, one of my biggest things is I hate seeing it rain on Christmas Day. Because as a kid growing up, I wanted to get outside and play with my new bike or toys or whatever. So fortunately, here in Western North Carolina, we don't show any rain for Christmas Day, which is great. But what we do show is some cold at the end of this week, like single digits cold. You know, going into the weekend, it's going to be really chilly. Morning rides are going to be your friend if you're trying to get on the trails and enjoy some stuff with some frozen trails. Next week, it warms up a little bit. We got some showers coming in Thursday, but pretty much for the rest of like the 10-day forecast, it's showing like either mostly sunny or partly cloudy, but it's going to be cold this weekend.
Well, I'm just hoping for some decent weather post-Christmas, because I've got new bike day coming up, Mangler. And I'm not trying to I'm not trying to be freeze-thaw riding and getting mud on it this early, but we're going to cross that bridge when we get there, and we'll talk about that pretty soon.
Yes, I'm excited to talk about your new bike day. I think we're going to have like a good discussion on this. We've had a couple of Instagram DMs slide in there asking us some thoughts on bikes for Western North Carolina, what we ride, how we ride, stuff like that. So I think this could be a fun time to have a good discussion on that.
Yeah, my last parts came in today, so It's now it's just up to me to get it built. So
pressure's on.
There, yeah.
Well, guys, that is a wrap on this week's episode. And as always, you can find us on social media. Just search Pisgah Podcast. And we've got the web store going with shirts, water bottles, koozies. We got some new buttons in. I got some re-up on magnets. Always want to throw some random stuff in your boxes so you never know what you're going to get. And you can check our store out at pisgahpodcast.bigcartel.com.
And if you came to the UCI World Cup downhill live stream for the downhill race, but you stayed for the XC race, then click subscribe. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got old episodes being uploaded currently. And use that Christmas card money that your auntie sent you to buy some Pisgah Podcast merch and support the show.
That's what's up. Well, we're probably going to have a little bit of a pause on shipping because, you know, we're busy with holiday stuff. But if you place an order in the next week or so, I'll get that out as soon as possible.
That's right. Mangler Claus, I hope you got your sleigh ready.
Oh, sleigh stays ready.
You're about the only one of the two of us that's going to fit down the chimney.
Oh, man, I hope not.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, Merry Christmas.